atmosphere that's in this place is priceless. That this atmosphere tonight is something that we've treasured and we've cherished. Something that we've longed for. Something that we can't let go of. Something that is connecting us into a connectivity with the Holy Ghost tonight. And so tonight I want you just to let your mind be freed from all of the constraints, from all of the restraining orders of hell. Tonight I want you to give your mind in total surrender. I want you to, we've heard the word abandonment tonight, I want you to abandon yourself to God. I want you to abandon yourself to God. I want you to extricate yourself from the controlling mechanisms of the world. I want you to release yourself tonight from any world decree, any world system management, any administrative world system that wants to wreck your life, that wants to steer your life, that wants to control your life. Tonight it's not a mind that needs, that is to be a playground for the enemy. It's not a littering ground for Satan tonight. It's a implantation night tonight. It's a night of plantation of the seeds that the Holy Ghost wants to lay underneath the soil of your spirit. Underneath the soil of your mind. Underneath the soil of your imagination. Underneath the soil of your creativity. Underneath the soil of your inventiveness. And tonight we were created as beings that were to be creative. As beings that were born to imagine what an invention outside of our own realm would be like if we just abandoned ourselves to God and God could take us to places where He would never, ever have taken you before. You see, we've got to prepare the mind as like a soil bed, as a mind of an imagination that conceives that there is a greater God than the God which we limit ourselves to, literally because we see ourselves not in the eyes that God sees us in. We look at ourselves as being minuscule, small human beings, but with a spirit that needs God. And tonight I want you to see your spirit, your spiritual being tonight, as more enlarged and more bigger than even your imagination. And so tonight it's about seeds that God wants to plant inside the mind. You see, we abandon ourselves to a world system. We allow the world system to indoctrinate our spirit and our soul and our mind. And tonight it's about releasing ourselves from all of the edicts and decrees that come from an indoctrination that bears weights and bears us down, that anchors us down into a system that wants to pollute our spirit, soul, mind and body. No wonder there's so much rejection in the world. No wonder why there is so much literal spiritual abortions in this spiritual realm. We talk about life and how precious life is in the natural realm, how precious life is, but how much value do you place upon your spiritual life? So much so that there are people today that want to commit a spiritual suicide. They literally want to terminate their spiritual legacy and their heritage. Why? Because their mind becomes the enemy to their faith. Their mind becomes the enemy to their spiritual legacy. And tonight there is a vine, there's a war raging on in the minds of God's people that want God with all of their heart, but their spirit is not giving them the keys or the strategies that unlock the realms of heaven. And so tonight, O Lord, I just pray your people tonight will receive what you have for them and their spirits. I pray for the seeds from heaven tonight. I pray for seeds that will replace the seeds of the world, that replace the seeds of a world that wants to indoctrinate us. We're going to literally deprogram ourselves from the world tonight.
Amen.
We're going to deprogram ourselves and encode ourselves with God's strategies. We're going to decode from a world which wants to pollute your spirit, soul, mind and body, that rules your home in the spirit. And you know, when we come into God's house, we carry the seeds of a world which is at war with the spirit. And when we come into the house of God, we must be ready for plantation, implantation and impartation. We come into God's house requiring things from God. We request, we make our supplication to God, but we're not in that place to receive. And I think it's because we've accumulated seeds over the week. We've accumulated world seeds. And tonight's about deprogramming yourself and abandoning yourself to God. Do you know what it would be like to literally say, God, I abandon myself to you. I'm your child. I'm not the world's child. I'm a spirit child tonight. I'm a Holy Ghost child. I'm a child of the living God. And tonight I want to be programmed literally with seeds from heaven tonight.
Yes.
Amen.
Seeds of the supernatural. Seeds of miracles. Seeds of discernment. Seeds that prepare for me the place before my eyes that I never knew.
Thank you, Lord.
I could conceive and conjure up with my imagination. The Word of God says in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Come on, let not your heart be troubled.
Hallelujah.
And there's a lot of troubled Christians in this world. A lot of troubled Christians because they don't believe in a God, let alone in a Christ. Did you know that when you believe in Christ, you are literally marrying yourself into the Anointed One and His anointing?
Yeah.
Where the impossible becomes possible. We've heard that tonight. Where all sufficiency lies. All sufficiency. You know, the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians, and I was looking at it just back there, and the Lord just laid this upon me. He says, and God is able to make all grace... Come on. All grace abound towards you. Notice that it's something that's coming. It's not something that's there. It comes towards you. It's something which you must walk towards. It's coming your way.
Amen.
And you always having all sufficiency. You know, that's where we've got to be. We've got to be in that realm or in that vein or in that stream of the sufficiency of God. And it says sufficiency in all things. Not just a little itemized thing here, not just a little itemized agenda there, but in all things. That means that anything that's outside of the spiritual realm is outlawed, and we should literally be abandoning ourselves into the realm of all things. Where all things become sufficient to us through the grace that God sends toward us. And listen, that you may abound to every good work. You know, the Word of God says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, it's because we're not in grace, or we're not abounding. We're more under a law than what we are under grace. We're in a season of grace right at this moment. We're in a season of grace, and we're not under law. And I think that we don't literally draw down the grace and sufficiency of God. We don't literally draw upon that grace. We have sufficiency in all things that's available. Otherwise, God would not say, I've made it available to you. I think it's because we're not working in a season of grace. We're not working in the realms of grace and sufficiency. And if we were, then every good work that you should do should naturally follow that which you believe in. You should be walking in the sufficiency of God. You should be walking and ministering in the sufficiency and the grace of God. And when you minister, the outworking of that grace and the outworking of that ministry, the outworking of that sufficiency on your life, which is an anointing, should absolutely or actually administer the works, preside over the works that you do, greater than the works than he, Christ, did, because the anointing, literally on the Anointed One, opens up doors to the supernatural that releases a proportion or a proximity of grace upon your life that means that you can work within the whole realm of the supernatural.
Amen.
We shall be working in levels of supernatural power and supernatural anointing because all sufficiency has come towards you.
Glory.
Let not your heart be troubled. We think, well, how can we do it? That's the flesh management. That's the flesh trying to legislate. How are we going to get this done? How are we going to do this? How are we going to get these people healed? Well, let me tell you something. It's got nothing to do with you nor your flesh. It's got everything to do with your management, with the management of the Holy Ghost managing your spirit. It's not about how the flesh can do it. It's about what the spirit can do. If you but just released and abandoned yourself into the realm of the supernatural where God exists, the atmosphere of heaven should be surrounding you like a cloud everywhere you walk.
Amen.
And we tend to flesherize things instead of spiritualize things. We tend to look at it the way, how would the flesh work towards this? What about my body? What about my strength? You know, the moment we feel a little weary, we think, oh, my poor body, my poor flesh. But that's because you're not disengaged from the flesh and you're not engaged in the Holy Ghost. That's your problem.
Amen.
You've got to get disengaged from the flesh and literally say and literally bring your flesh into a subjection to a realm which is not complementary to your flesh working in the spirit. You see, we tend to think, we tend to become earthbound in our creativity simply because we're thinking about how we can create things in the supernatural. What new program can we get? What new invention can I do? What new spiritual, you know, in the stratosphere of spirit, what new wild imagination, imaginative thing can we cop today that makes things so appealing to our church or to your church? Let me tell you something, that's the flesh talking and not God talking. That's where the flesh starts to speak into your spirit and says, you do things this way and you'll find the best result. You go that way and you'll find that God will work for you this way. You know, the problem is we dilute the spiritual strength we have simply because we try to manage the way the faith moves and motions us into place to receive from God. We've got to heighten things up in the spirit, and the spirit, once we heighten things up in the spirit, once we work and we connect with God, then our faith will come up to the measure of our expectation. You know, the problem is we try to work faith into a hyper state. Oh, I'm feeling God tonight. Oh, I'm feeling God. Who are we trying to convince? You or God? Who are we trying to convince? Oh, I feel the gift of miracle. Who are you trying to convince? Me or God? You or God? God or man? I think we let a little thing slip out of our mouth like something slips out of the bag now and again. You know, we try to remind God, hey God, we're in a revival meeting. Let's have some fire. Let's have some Holy Ghost miracles. We need a people are going to go home disappointed if they don't have a deliverance tonight. Let me tell you something, that is not a God initiative. We should be coming in here saying, God, shower me with the blessings, what's new? Behold, I do a new thing. Every day should be something that's creative and new and out of the ordinary. Something that's not even super ordinary by definition. Something that's created simply because it's a new thing for the hour, for the day, and not for the yesterday.
Yeah.
I think the problem with so many people is they see themselves in yesterday's eyes and yesterday's light and the prisons of yesterday. They see themselves working ways and certain ways that they used to do. You know, God says every day is a new day. Every day.
Yeah.
And so therefore you shouldn't be operating like you did last Sunday. You shouldn't even be operating like you did last Thursday. And so the incentive is to seek the face of God as to what new things we can be doing. What can we do, God, that will start to motion things in the spirit wherein we can be lifted up into that realm that operates from a higher plane of existence in the spirit. The problem is that we never reach there simply because we're always expecting the same familiar surroundings, the same familiar atmosphere. And you know, I think the worship is like a barometer. Sometimes we test, well, the worship feels good, and oh, there's an anointing there now. And I think what we do is we have misguidedly used worship to try and build an atmosphere, whereas you should have built the atmosphere in your spirit before you actually come into the meeting. You should be so prepared in the spirit. You should be so geared up in the spirit that literally the anointing on the worship lifts you even higher. And so many people say, well, I come in dry, I come in cold, and oh, the worship, just let the worship wash over me. And I feel good, the atmosphere, I feel anointed today. And yet 10 minutes before, you were feeling wretched and you were feeling like you were carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. We must come into the house of God so geared in the faith, so literally so overwhelmed with God in our spirit that literally we're like a bubble ready to burst. And when the music, when the worship starts, it's literally like a total release. I believe tonight that God wants to implant seeds of the supernatural that take you to new levels tonight. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I believe that as we're looking towards an eternity where we're going to be living in a house or a mansion, I would like to translate in that to being that there are many rooms in heaven that you have not even been in. There are many levels you have not even explored.
Hallelujah.
There are many mansions that God is saying, because of your troubled mind, I cannot permit you to enter. You may say, well, my mind's not troubled. But let me tell you something. Anything that tries to share the same seat at the throne of your thought life, the flesh with the spirit, that's incompatible and needs to be divorced from your spirit immediately. The immediacy of spiritual connection is when we're totally all spirit and nothing of the flesh. The immediacy of spiritual power comes from when we have a spirit mind renewed by the word of God that's so connected into God that nothing you can do in the flesh would have any bearings upon where you are going in the spirit realm. So much so that like stones that hit the body of Stephen, so disconnected from his body was he that he saw the glory of God that he never even felt his flesh rip and bleed. Here they were, hails of stones coming at him. He was literally, you know, stones knocking him, coming off his flesh, literally caused deep gashes in his flesh, and yet he was so in a trance-like state. That's what we should be coming into the house of God, that we're in a trance with God. We're gone somewhere. We're not hearing what's going on. We're having church up there and not down here. We're having church in the supernatural realms. We're having a worship session with the angels. We're having heavenly hosts, you know, inhabit our space. We're not sitting next to some human being in a seat. We're sitting next to heavenly hosts.
Hallelujah.
I believe we should have heaven literally transform our churches. Actually, our churches should resemble heaven. We should have a heaven experience every time.
Hallelujah.
The only limitation to that is your mind and what you allow yourself to be available to receive. That's the only limitation. Your own limited mind cannot conceive outside of the boundaries of what you expect to receive. God says there's a whole population of the supernatural realm that I want to literally release into your life tonight. I want to literally populate your mind. The only thing that connects us into God is our mind. And if our mind is constantly diverted into flesh ways and not spiritual ways, then there's no absolutes there. There's no absolute law anymore. It's the flesh must be totally disconnected from your mind in order for you to operate in the spirit. So it makes it possible for you to walk in the spirit, to live in the spirit, think in the spirit, act in the spirit, walk and live and act and drink and
reach it.
In other words, you should be all spirit.
Spirit all the way.
The only external recognition and the only external suit is your flesh, is your appearance. But your appearance must also reflect your internal state of condition. So in other words, when I walk into the house of God, there's a glow about me. Not because I'm expecting either. There's a glow about me. There's something about a woman when she's pregnant. There's a glow about her. There's something you say, oh, you must be pregnant, because there's something about you that just, there's a glow about you. I think there should be a Holy Ghost halo glow around people of God. That when you walk in there, you know the unexpected, the unpredictable is going to happen, because you carry something of the unpredictability of God, because God's never predictable. I think we sort of number from 1 to 10 what we expect God to do in a meeting. And really, basically, you are the actioners of God's anointing. You activate the anointing that's on the inside of you. Therefore, the more height to the anointing that you have, the more action you're going to see in demonstration.
Hallelujah.
You know, we tend to think in faith, how that faith is in demonstration and in action. But I believe there's such a level in the spirit that you go to and that you reach, that literally what acts and what is actioned is something more supernatural that has no human element or no human definition, that has no human tag or no human label. It's something that says, I don't know what that was, but it's just got to be God. A lot of people say they see jewels coming down from heaven, and jewels that are not known or found or discovered on the earth, and you know it's God, because you know there are things like angels' feathers and oh look, gold fillings and gold dust. And I tell you what, when you touch heaven, the reality is that heaven touches earth.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And I think we as people are missing out on something extraordinarily great. Because greatness is on the inside of you tonight. There is greatness waiting to be unlocked and unleashed on the inside of you. And I know that there are people that are blinded to faith. There are people that are blinded to the possibilities of God. There are things that we need to do in the spirit. That we need, you know, he says, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. In other words, you already know where you're going. You already know what there is that can be available. Where I'm going, you already know. And so there are areas that God has prepared for us that we should have a foreknowledge of, because God never takes you anywhere where you haven't already been already. In dreams and in visions, you should be seeing things already.
Yeah.
You should be dreaming about God. You should be literally breathing in the air and the atmosphere of heaven, that when you lay your head on that pillow at night, you're actually dreaming. God dreams and heaven sends dreams. Instead, we wake up and we have nightmares and we say, that was a horrible dream. That's because you've been feasting your mind. You've been digesting the world. And you've been looking at the world, your eyes have been open to the world. But how about closing yourself away with God and allowing your eyes to receive the impressions of heaven, so that when you go to sleep at night, you don't close your eyes shut thinking about the world and having the world's impressions on your eyes. You go to bed because you know that you're going to go and dream about heaven. You're going to have a heaven-sent dream. God's going to send you a dream and a vision that's going to cause you to wake up in the morning. And you're going to say, I know where I'm going. I know where I've been. I know what I've seen. And I tell you, I don't know what, I can't describe it, but I tell you, it was great. And then release it. God wants to release us into a whole new level. And I think we sit here week after week and I don't see the changes. I don't see the levels rising. I think we need to gauge our spirituality and gauge our progression by measures of how much we've grown in the spirit. How grown in the spirit are we? Have you changed from last year?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah. There's progression. Somebody's growing. Some people are growing. If you're the same today as what you were 4 to 5 years ago, you haven't made a difference. You haven't changed.
You've got to change.
You haven't got fruit if you haven't changed. And it's all about fruit-bearing years. How many years have you borne fruit in the Spirit that says, my goodness, you know, year 1999, I was floundering, I was down in the bottom, I was trying to search for God, but in the year 2009, oh, the unimaginable happened. I got God. I found God. I saw heaven. I was in heaven. I was walking down those golden staircases. The Lord put his hand on my shoulder and said, well done, son. Go back and tell him what you've seen.
Yep.
You know, a lot of doors are closed to the Christian church today in the mansions of God simply because if they saw what was behind those doors, they would literally be consumed, literally, by the appearance of the unimaginable. Did you know that such an awesome wonder would literally cause your natural death? I think the glory of God can be visualized in anything that is heaven in heaven today. I think that if we went up in our flesh state, we would literally be consumed by the glory that shines off of the creativity of God. The awesomeness of God. The awesomeness of God. And I'll say it again, that man should never go up into heaven and the natural with an exposed flesh. And I believe that cry is still coming forward to the church today. There is grace and sufficiency. Come on, I've given you grace. I've given you sufficiency. Now what are you doing? Are you walking towards it? I was walking towards it about 10 years ago. Or were you? Where are you today?
That's right, Peter.
What have you done with the grace God's given you? What are you doing? Are you still walking towards the grace of God 10 years later? We should have apprehended that the moment we saw it.
Amen.
We should have pursued it the moment we even caught sight of His glory. The problem is we tend to be so analytical and so illogical that we tend to out-reason ourselves and we literally just persuade ourselves from chasing after God simply because we've got so much of an analytical mind that we dissect everything we see until literally the flesh starts to rationalise for us and starts to make confusion as king of our spirit. Oh, I'm confused. I don't know what I saw now.
Yes.
I don't know if it was God or not.
Amen.
Well, yes, it was God. But the problem was, you're now confused because you allowed the flesh to start to legislate your movement towards the Spirit.
Yes.
That's good
teaching, Peter. I tell you, if the Spirit guides you, you're moving towards the unimaginable. You're moving towards the impossible. What could you possibly believe could happen if you just abandoned yourself to God and God just took you there? Do you know, I look at it this way, that every single day should be an abandonment unto God. Every day you should have a spiritual visitation. Every day you should be in heaven. Every day you should be in conversation with God. I think that if our eyes saw what God has hidden from the church today, then we would literally never be able to spend the years of a lifetime to repeat what we saw. Our years in the flesh have nothing in comparison to the spiritual years that await us when we just allow God to just open up the realms of those mansions and say, oh, in my Father's house are many mansions. If you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have... You see, we know him. But the word know in the Greek is actually the word that literally is something we use for intimacy. It's the word we know as the most intimate knowing. As man and woman know one another intimately. So it is that God is saying, I want you to know me intimately. That means we have to get into the heart of God. We have to literally get into the mind of God. We have to literally probe that mind and that heart until actually we have an intimate knowledge of God, His ways and His works. Once we have that intimacy and that relationship, then God will reveal His secrets and mysteries in a way that we can carry it forward to the earth today. The problem is we don't have the intimacy. We need to intimately know him. That means knowing my Father also. If you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him. And once you have that intimacy, you've seen him. And once you've seen him, what else could there possibly be left to see but him and his glory and all of his wealth in the kingdom? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've got to have a little conversation with ourselves. We've got to talk to ourselves and say, how much of God do I know? We need to have a conversation that literally takes us into an area in our lives where we've got to really be so seriously minded about dismantling the strongholds and the strong houses of thought. Our thoughts are literally cumulative suggestiveness that literally builds upon builds stronghouses of thoughts that form strongholds that literally try to steer our imagination into areas that conflict with spiritual truth. We need to dismantle the stronghouses of our thought life tonight. For God to implant seeds in your spirit, you need to have that open gateway that literally is channels in, that literally God can channel down into our lives, thoughts that would lead us onto the journey of intimacy with him. Praise the Lord. And I believe tonight there's some bandages coming off. I believe there's some Lazarus coming out of tombs. I believe there's some Elijahs that's going to have eyes that literally going to be implanted on tonight. I believe that God's going to just literally plant eyes on people tonight that will see in the Spirit.
Amen.
I want to exchange these old spectacles for Holy Ghost ones. I want to see the two worlds that exist, the world itself, but heaven, the eternal world that we belong to. And I believe the reason we can't see it is because we've become so worldly based and worldly connected that literally we're just blinded to the spiritual life and the spiritual atmosphere around us. I believe there's electricity and majesty in the atmosphere all around us. I believe there's glory that shines out of the walls. I believe there's glory that shines in the ceiling. I believe there's glory around this place, but we don't see it. Why? Because we're still earthbound.
Yeah.
And we've got to get a little bit heaven bound.
Amen.
The less of the flesh, the lighter you'll feel. And the lighter you feel, the easier it is to fly.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You know what? God didn't call you an eagle for nothing because he knew that you had the potential and the capacity to fly.
Amen.
That's a very simple definition. But it's so true. Because God says you're an eagle.
Yeah.
Not a sparrow. Not a chicken, not a duck. You are an eagle, and you're not bound to the earth. You are an eagle that soars. You know, the height that an eagle can reach is higher than any other known bird. You're eagles, and I want to see tonight some eagles leaving this place, that when we literally go down that driveway tonight, that we're literally driving ourselves, we're literally flying out, because we've become lighter in the flesh and we've become more heavier, more full and more meatier in the spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. I can go on all night. I'd love to go on all night, but I don't believe that God wants me to go on too much longer. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. Don't you want the world to look at you and say, I don't see any world left in you anymore? You don't really belong here in the world. You belong to the kingdom. You are kingdom owned and kingdom ransomed for. You are not destined for the world. You are bound for kingdom destination tonight. Amen. If you love him, he will manifest himself to you. I think we tend to treat that very literally. Love him, and he will manifest. I believe we say, well, Lord, I love you, and then we get the Peter syndrome. Peter, do you love me? Come on. I think we're stuck in the filial, and we can't get out and connect into the agape. There's an agape level of love that literally we need to reach. If we could only just allow ourselves to be in the Spirit, then everything that's related or relative to the flesh, that is affliction, that's torment, that's threats, that's intimidation, literally will be buried under the weight of the things which God will literally release to you in the Spirit. We talk about, oh, I've been rejected, I've been abandoned, I've been aborted, and I've literally, my mother didn't want me, and my, you know, and we tend to isolate things, and we focus more on the flesh. We allow our mind to travel down a focus or a focal point in the flesh, and we don't focus on things in the Spirit. We tend to forget to not to waste energy on things that are fleshly and focus more on things that are more spiritual and spiritually more beneficial to us. Then I believe we're going to be feeding more in the Spirit than what we do in the flesh, because I think we need to starve the flesh and build up our Spirit.
That's true.
I think we feed too much flesh. We become too rich, like too rich in the flesh, that literally we lose the wealth of the kingdom in the Spirit. We lose it. And we need to regain that back. That simply, we need to become more intimate with God. We need to go walk towards that grace, towards that sufficiency, and God will give us that which we desire. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.